Turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 2. So this is a shocking story. Some of you may be surprised at this one. Some of you, I know the account, too. J.C. Ryle wrote a children's book called, it's actually a children's sermon that he preached, and they turned it into a book called The Two Bears. You've all heard about the three bears. And now here's the two bears, okay? So, verse 23. And he, Elisha, went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." I know how he feels. There you go. Yeah. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Well, I made a joke, but it wasn't very funny what happened, was it? Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Now, that is an odd story. Okay, we'll admit. Now, let's talk about it and see what it is. It's such an odd story that some people are just horrified by that and say, well, that can't even be true. You know, the Bible is just a book of murder and death and destruction, and here it is again. It's horrible. It's shocking. Well, let's talk about it, because there's a lesson to be learned here. They were youths, as we said. The Hebrew word there says basically that we can think of an age grouping. So think of teenagers, young adults. Okay, that'd be what we would call this grouping of youth. So teenagers, young adults. And they worked hard to mock the prophet. They actually came out of the city of Bethel. He was just going by. He wasn't even going in there. And they came out of the city. They were mocking him, harassing him. And yeah, 42 of them were mauled. And by the word, the Hebrew word there, mauled, it means literally torn up. You know, so we pretty well think they met the end of themselves. We also see from reading here in the English and in the Hebrew that there were more than 42 of them. There could have been a few hundred of them that came out. So that's another thing to realize, too. So it wasn't just 42 of them, but 42 of them were the ones that got mauled. They came out of the city. They worked hard. They were ridiculing. But they said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up." They're basically meaning two things by that as they mocked him. They were mocking the fact that his master had left and gone to heaven. And, of course, they were mocking his bald head, too. But that wouldn't even have been visible. They must have known he was bald because he'd have been wearing a cap and such as a prophet. But they were mocking him that way. But they're basically saying, "Go up like your master did. Why can't you do what your master did? Elijah went up, and why can't you go up?" You know, that's basically part of it. And the other part, too, was, "Go up and leave us alone. Get out of here. We don't want anything to do with you." Basically, don't come into our city. You know? Now, think about Bethel. If you know your Bible well, you'll know something about Bethel. There was something about Bethel that was very, very bad. You know? Remember Jeroboam, the son of Nebat? Jeroboam set up two golden calves, one in Bethel, one in Dan. And actually, that was mentioned by Carl Truman last Sunday night here. And Jeroboam did that so that the people of Israel would not go down to the temple to worship anymore. They could worship the golden calf. And golden calf is no coincidence either, because what happened at the time of Moses and Aaron? A golden calf. So this is the kind of idolatry we're talking about. Now, we're going to finish saying a few more things about this, but there's another thing that happens in chapter 3 that helps us understand. So look at chapter 3, verse 2. Well, Sam, let's go to verse 1. Let's just read verse 1 through 3. "Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became king of Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother. For he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them." So what are we being told? Okay, a little bit better than Ahab. That's not saying much. That's like saying a little bit better than Hitler. You know, so that's not all that great. But a little better than Ahab. Ahab had done his best, and his wife Jezebel had done her best to turn Israel into a Baal-worshipping nation. Okay. Well, that's taken away by Jehoram. He doesn't want him worshiping Baal. But how about, let's go back to the golden calf worship in Bethel and Dan. And evidently that was quite acceptable, and people were quite excited about that. So that's another background to this whole thing. Remember, the Bible's not written chronologically necessarily. It's written in groupings. And so what we can see that had happened here is that because actually Jehoram became king during the time of Elijah. So he didn't just become king in chapter 3. It's just that now we're talking about that. And so the people of Bethel, more than happy to have their golden calf worship. These youths, more than happy to be idolaters with golden calf worship too. They wanted to remain idol worshippers. And there's one other scripture we can go to that gives a little more insight on this. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus, one of those books, as Carl Truman said, he only preached 30 minutes, but he said a lot of things. 30 minutes. It was pretty amazing. Leviticus is one of those books that can be really hard to read. But there's some real jewels in there if we work our way through. And chapter 26 is a chapter of blessings and cursings. And blessings and retributions. And this is what Moses and God, through Moses, tells the children of Israel will happen in the land in which they're going. So look at Leviticus 26, verse 14. But if you do not obey me, God says, and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. And boom. He starts a whole list of terrors, a whole list of curses, a whole list of difficult things that will come upon them if they don't obey. And the one that I want to point out to you is found in verse 21 and 22. Verse 21. Then, this is the list still continuing of curses. If you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I'll bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children. Oh, well, that's what I wanted to point out. Basically, you become an idolater. You become walking in your ways. There's a host of things that are going to happen. And I'll send them from my hand. And one of them is wild beasts attacking your children and robbing you of them. And God had said that's what would happen. That's what one instance of it happening right here to the idolaters. So this time the judgment came swift and horrible in the name of the Lord. And the two miracles are actually to be taken together. That's why they're grouped this way. The healing and removing of the curse at Jericho and the curse and fulfilling of the curse at Bethel. Because God is gracious to his people. He provides for all of his people's needs. Yet God's wrath is upon the lost. And he's only gracious to them now in the fact that he's forestalling judgment. So we need to look at it that way. God's wrath doesn't always come roaring out of the woods like two bears, but it can if that's what God decides to do.